My father was as much in love with his land as he was with my mother, and he loved both of them deeply. He loved the tall date palms along the edges of our farm that marked out an area larger than 2 football pitches, the game Americans know as soccer. He loved his olive trees and the oil he produced from them. He loved his hives, both for the bees and the amazing honey they produce pollinating his guavas, figs, and dates. He especially loved his greenhouses, long tunnels of plastic stretched over metal frames. They covered almost half the land. He raised tomatoes in them, along with hot peppers and eggplants that he sold to markets in Israel and Jordan, and sometimes Egypt. He had spent his lifetime enriching the sandy soil with compost to make it eminently productive. He loved how on almost every piece of the land around his house there was a tree. Some, like his figs and guavas, gave fruit. Others brought shade and color to the open areas around our house. There had once been an orange grove, but my father's brother had cut down most of the trees to make space for a new house he built for his family. My father never completely forgave him. He loved the memory of those orange trees, which he still saw in his mind, where they had stood for generations. He had more than 200 date palm trees. Some grew around the corners of our house, while others lined the long driveway from the house to the gate onto Mecca Street. There was a tower for pigeons, a cage for many rabbits, geese, ducks, chickens, and at least 2 roosters. We tied our gentle old white donkey by a small room which housed the motor that powered the irrigation system and our water well. Next to it was a very large olive tree, a couple of 100 years old. Olive trees can live for centuries. I liked to climb it to find a good hiding spot where I could relax and scrutinize my universe. We had dozens and dozens of olive trees, and during olive picking season, we all turned into a team. For breakfast, my mother fried eggs, mixed with salted potatoes and cheese, and baked bread in her mud oven. My father spread plastic beneath each tree so that any olives that fell could be picked up without getting covered in the dry earth. I enjoyed climbing the trees. The higher I got, the more excited I felt. I came down only when my mother announced that lunch was ready. Jasmine rice with beef and okra stew. She served it on a tray with a smashed tomato salad and a plate filled with freshly cut tomatoes, cucumbers, and hot peppers, mostly for my father, all straight from our farms, along with pickled olives from the previous season. Even though I found the whole process exciting, by the second day I was looking for ways to finish faster. One way was to use a stick to shake down the branches without having to pick them by hand. My grandmother got upset with me for this because she did not want the branches to be scratched. She lectured me about how an olive tree is like a human being. Its skin is not to be harmed. I just waited for her to get distracted and went back to using my stick. At the end of the land, some distance from the house, my 2 older brothers had helped my father build a hut from where we could keep watch on the far side of the property. It was a stockade of dry palm trunks with woven palm leaves for a roof. It had a place to make a fire and lay long, thin cushions called fresh on the floor where we sat. Our land was so big, I never ran out of space to be on my own. It was a paradise. Knowing that I grew up in Gaza, you may be surprised to hear me call it paradise. Today, and my heart breaks to say so, you might be more inclined to call it hell. Believe me though, when I was a child, it was not like that, and I still think of it the way it was then.